This morning we conclude our study of the Old Testament prophet, Zechariah. The Bible is the Word of God, and it's reinforced this Christmas Advent season by the many promises and prophecies of the Old Testament that are remarkably fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. Sometimes we take for granted the fact that the promises that God made to his Old Testament people are fulfilled. The Bible is the inerrant word of God. We think of the promises of the Old Testament connected with the birth of Jesus. Genesis 3, the promise of the descendant of the woman who would crush the serpent's head. We heard in the sermon, I think it was a week ago, the promise of Malachi of the coming messenger who would prepare the way for the Messiah, the birth of John the Baptist. The remarkable miracle we heard last night of Isaiah's promise that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. The fact that the census of a Roman emperor made it necessary for the Holy Family to travel to Bethlehem to fulfill the prophecy of Micah that the Savior would be born in David's little town. And then the coming of the Gentile kings as prophesied also by Isaiah. It may seem this morning more like Lent than Christmas. But if you were in church last night, you probably can't see it. Behind the manger is always the cross. God's promises included not only the birth, or even primarily the birth of the Messiah, but his work. The Gospel of Isaiah could not be more clear. We thought it was because of God, Isaiah writes 700 years before Jesus, that he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted. But it was because of our rebellion that he was pierced. He was crushed for the guilt our sins deserved, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. So we've been studying the prophecies of Zechariah, lived 500 years before Jesus was born, and encouraged the return east from the Babylonian captivity to rebuild God's temple and worship him again and rebuild his holy city, Jerusalem. And in Zechariah are those prophecies which center around the passion, the suffering, the death, the cross of Jesus Christ. Isaiah's final prophecy is contained in chapter 13, second to the last chapter. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man who is my associate, declares the Lord of armies. Strike the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. Again, you wonder what the people of Zechariah's day thought when they heard his words. They might have thought of the prophet himself, who Matthew tells us was killed in the temple. But Zechariah 13, the chapter begins with that familiar refrain, on that day. The day when God would reveal his promised salvation in the connection with the coming of the King Messiah, a prophecy fulfilled in Jesus' suffering and death. Side note, one of the remarkable verses is the first verse of chapter 13 of Zechariah. The verse says, on that day, a fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Now you may remember these words in the Lenten hymn, "There's a fountain filled with blood." But in Zechariah 13, verse 7, the Holy Spirit's marker is, "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Matthew 26 tells us that this prophecy was fulfilled in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember the bitter sufferings and prayers that Jesus offered, looked for comfort from his disciples, that group of three whom he found sleeping. And then, even though he had warned them that they would flee, when that mob came with staves and swords, clubs, they ran. They scattered. They scattered like sheep without a shepherd. And so the Holy Spirit tells us in Matthew 26, Jesus said to his disciples, "This night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written," going back to Zechariah, "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." What a sad night Maundy Thursday was. What a bitter day Good Friday was for the disciples as they locked themselves in that room out of fear for their lives. Sometimes today we can think in terms of Zechariah's society, the enemies of God's people threatened to overwhelm them. There was even among the returnees a sense of apathy and disappointment as they saw the destruction of Jerusalem that they were to rebuild. And yet Zechariah gave them the promise of a coming shepherd, Jesus. And even though Jesus' own disciples scattered when he was arrested, he patiently gathered them in after his resurrection, the 40 days that he was with them. And so we're assured the days in which we live, which sometimes seem like the worst of days for Christ and his church, that Jesus is the triumphant shepherd king. And Jesus promises that as the good shepherd, no one will be able to snatch you out of his hand. And he promises to each one of you the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. So this Christmas, amidst all the joyous hymns and the fulfillment of those joyous promises with the angel Gabriel and the multitude of the heavenly hosts, remember that behind the manger stands the cross. But also this Advent season, we think in terms of Zechariah's promise of a Messiah who would bring about a victory over sin and Satan and death, and who would come again. If you get a chance, read chapter 14. Of Zechariah, the last chapter. And think of this tomorrow night, as in music, you will sing, we will hear the miracle of the King in the cradle. And that's really the story of Christmas. So this Advent season, we look forward in word and song beyond the manger, behind the 33 years of Jesus' life, behind the cross, the empty tomb, to that day as our triumphant King will come and take us into his kingdom. And so we think in terms of David this morning, the Lord Jesus, is my shepherd, my personal shepherd. And we thank God for the fulfillment of his promises to each one of us. And so may your Christmas be safe, may it be quiet, and may it be joyful as you consider the real miracle, the reason for the season. And so we look forward to tomorrow night, to Christmas Day, and to Jesus coming again. Amen. We'll close our worship this morning with the singing of hymn 783. We'll sing stanzas 1 and 2 and 5. Stanza, hymn number 783.